at a passage in a few moments in Matthew 23, where Jesus, in order to describe his heart, to describe his character, says that he's like a mother hen in regard to her chicks. We've been talking about Jesus' interaction with his followers shortly before he went to Jerusalem, and how he talked about, on the foundation that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he would build his church, his ecclesia, his gathering, and that the gates of Hades would not prove stronger than it. We also talked about how Jesus took his disciples on two kind of strange field trips right at the end, out of the areas where they had been through all their years together. He took them out of the predominantly Jewish area where they were, out to the Gentile area, into the city of Caesarea Philippi, to this place that was called the Gates of Hell, the Gates of Hades. And he was doing this right before he headed for Jerusalem. And then we're going to look at a passage in a moment where he continues on and says something further about gathering. But before we go on, I want to ask you a question. You know, what comes to your mind when you think about the word longing? What is a longing? I'll just give you a second. Okay, an ache, a desire. Yeah, what else? An ache, a desire. What do your longings have to do with? Anticipation. Need for something. Dreams. Wants. It's about something you don't have. You're longing for something. You're looking for something else. It's something that it comes from deep inside. And I want to ask you, what do a person's longings say about them? I think a person's longings say just about everything about them. If you know what a person longs for, that is a window right into their soul. Jesus talks about his longings here in a minute. You know, he wanted to take his disciples to these Gentile areas, and I think it was going to be a cultural and racial challenge for them. And in fact, it took them years to get out of the predominantly Jewish area and out into the Gentile territory, and it was culture shock for sure. And Jesus wanted, I think, to help prepare them for that. But for Jesus personally, he had a bigger challenge coming. Bigger than the response of the Gentiles for him as far as impacting his life, bigger than the Gentiles, because Jesus was going to Jerusalem. In Matthew 23, starting at verse 37, Jesus, as he's headed toward Jerusalem, or as he's arriving in Jerusalem, he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" And I think the violent fate of prophets must have been hanging heavy in Jesus' heart and mind. You know, he saw John the Baptist as a forerunner to himself. And John, who had been sent to prepare the way for Jesus, had been beheaded. In fact, in Luke 13, verse 33, Jesus says, today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way because, and he's talking about being on the way to Jerusalem. And he says, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside Jerusalem. He says, Jerusalem so often rejects those that God sent to them that, in fact, it's just, I can't even imagine a prophet dying anywhere else. Yet, it says Jesus in Luke 9:51 said he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Literally, he set his face toward Jerusalem. He was on his way, and he knew what it was going to cost. It was going to cost everything. But he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And it raises the question, why in the world would he do that? He knew what was going to happen when he got there. Today, tomorrow, and the next day, I've got to go. On the third day, I'll reach my goal, he says one place. Looking forward to his resurrection. But before the resurrection comes his encounter with Jerusalem. Why in the world would he do that? He says, because it's something that I long to do, and I long to gather, even Jerusalem. I long to gather them under my wings like a hen gathers her brood or her chicks. And in their case, it's, but you aren't willing. But that was his heart. And Jesus wanted to gather not just Jerusalem, but he wants to gather everyone under his wings to bring them in, to care for them. And it comes down through the ages to you and to me. Jesus wants to gather us. Because he loves us. Why in the world would he go to Jerusalem? Because he loved. And love is a game changer. You do a lot of things for love. You do a lot of things as a parent. And I tell you this, sometimes it helps at the beginning not to know what's coming. If we knew everything that was coming, we might not become parents. But when the child is there, you'll do anything. Jesus says, if you want to know what my heart is, look at the way a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings. That's who I am to you. That's who I am even to the people who reject me. How much more those who receive him? How much more those who turn their hearts, turn their souls toward him and ask for more? Love is a game changer. Why would he go to Jerusalem? Something he would go and do something and set his mind on something that's beyond his life, beyond his concerns, beyond his rights, beyond his preferences, beyond his comfort. Because he longs to gather people under his wings like a hen gathers her brood. And so this man that we see willing to lay his life down, literally laying his life down for you and for me, that's the man we follow. And when we read this and we ask, why in the world would Jesus do that? Eventually we'll get around to asking ourselves the question, is why in the world would we do something like that? Why would we lay our lives down to gather people under our wings? Is that something that I intend to do? Is imitating Jesus in that? You know, I think one barrier to us adopting the life of Jesus is that we try to imagine carrying out his actions with our hearts and our longings as they are now. Because if you talk to a young person who doesn't have children and say, hey, how would you like to change diapers and be sleep deprived? And, just go down the list. How would you like to do that? Are you crazy? Because they don't love a baby. Not babies in general. They don't love this baby right here. Because when you love the baby, it's a game changer. And a diaper changer. And a life changer. And a schedule changer. It's all bets are off. Everything changes because of that little person. And Jesus said, for me, the game changed, the life changed, everything changed. And for him, his physical life ended for 3 days because he longed to gather everyone. Those who received him, those who rejected him. He longs to gather everyone under his wings like a hen gathers her chicks. But if we try to imagine imitating Jesus' actions with our hearts the way they are before Jesus, before being transformed by Jesus, what it becomes is just a battle of will, gutting it out, making a New Year's resolution, I'll do it this year. And then getting tired and failing and giving up. Until we get pumped up again to try it again. But there's a step before that that has to come, and that is the intention, the vision, and the intention and the means of taking on the heart of Jesus that motivated him to take on his longing. It starts with looking at Jesus and looking at who he is and looking at the glory of God as lived out in his life and seeing how beautiful that is and saying, we all have heroes. We all have role models. We all have something that we're aspiring to be. And people might ask us, why is it Jesus? And I say, who else did you have in mind? Who else would be better? But sometimes we look at Jesus and we don't necessarily right now at this minute even want to do that, but I think it starts with wanting to want to. And asking for God to help us to become like Jesus, because we know we need Jesus so much. It's such good news that Jesus wanted to gather us under his wings. But as we become more like him, we take on that heart of wanting to gather other people, to care for other people, to take on, you might call it, the weight of leadership. Not out of duty, not out of obligation or coercion, but flowing from our longing, the longing to shepherd, the longing to gather under our wings. Like Jesus, be on my life, be on my concerns, my rights, my preferences, my comfort. But how does that happen? Just by making a decision and gutting it out? No, it's a different process. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This is a verse that we come back to from time to time. This talks about how we change, how we take on the character, how we take on the longings of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I'm going to read, that was the NIV. I'm going to read it again, the New American Standard. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into that same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Paul's painting this image where we gaze on Jesus, we look at Jesus' life, we look at his heart, his longings. Specifically in this case, we gaze on Jesus as the one who longs to gather others under their wings. Even those who were rejecting him, even those who were going to kill him in just a few days. And he says, my heart for you is that I want to gather you together. And it boggles our mind how someone could lay down their lives to be so giving, so loving, so sacrificial. Yet we have those relationships in our lives. We have our children. We have our family members. We have our friends that are closest. And we realize that the best in us, the very best in us, is when that longing and that intention comes out. And we see it not just as words on a page, but standing up, walking around in flesh and blood, that when we have the longing to care for other people, that we reflect the glory of God the way that Jesus was reflecting the glory of God right here. But it starts with us gazing at Jesus. And Paul's painting a picture. He says it's like staring at Jesus, gazing on the glory of God in Jesus. And there's something, the Holy Spirit works in that situation. And really, this is a kind of prayer. We've talked about there's prayers where we ask God for things and we praise God, we adore God, we pray for other people, intercession. But there's other kinds of prayer where you're not talking, you're just putting yourself in the presence of God and you're listening. And you're longing, and you're gazing. This is in that place where we open our spirits to God, and we're gazing on Jesus, gazing like we're staring into a mirror. Something begins to happen. This change takes place as we're staring. It's like staring into a mirror, but the change that takes place is on this side of the mirror, because we're gazing at Jesus. And what happens on this side of the mirror is a transformation's taking place where more and more the reflection of Jesus that we're gazing at becomes who we are. And it's not something you can just decide and gut it out. It's not something that happens in a life unplugged from gazing on Jesus. It's not a life that happens unplugged from a prayerful connection with God moment by moment. And we find ourselves, mysteriously, in a sense, spiritually, beginning to take on the heart of Jesus. We find ourselves longing for the same things Jesus longed for. Not out of duty not out of obligation, not out of coercion, not because somebody's twisting our arm. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. But it happens as we gaze on the glory of the Lord with unveiled faces. Sometimes we have some veils in our lives that we just have to take off so that we can see Jesus. Maybe it's the veil of busyness. Maybe it's the veil of just desires for other things. Maybe it's the, I mean, what you know better than I do. But if we want, if we have the intention, we have this vision of the beauty and the power and the brilliance of Jesus, we're captured by that vision and we decide that we want to do it, then we spend time in prayerful gazing on the glory of God as revealed in Jesus. And then we decide to follow Jesus one step at a time. Wherever God has you right now, it's not a call to go somewhere else and do something somebody else is doing. It's where you are right now with God with you, being transformed because of what you're gazing on, what you're focusing on. We become what we behold. It's God's work. It's Spirit work. We have to gaze. We have to open ourselves up. We have to take the blinders off. We have to take the veil away. Sometimes the veil might be the things you think you have to do in order to get God's approval. Some spiritual ladder of accomplishment that, you know, if I do these things, then God will be happy with me and then God will bless me. That's not how it works. That's coming up with our own system of salvation. And God doesn't have any part of that. But when we have that kind of connection with Jesus, it opens up possibilities in our lives. Possibilities that we didn't think were possibilities. We find ourselves desiring to do things that we didn't think we could desire to do. We didn't think we had the ability to do it. We didn't think we had the talent to do it. We didn't think we had the time to do it. But when our longings change, everything changes. When our longings change, everything changes. Sue and I on Thursday got to visit with our nephew and his wife, Megan and Derek. They just gave birth to triplets. And they struggled with infertility for a long time. And then, long story short, then they were pregnant. It's a really long story, very short. They're pregnant. They go into the doctor, they have an ultrasound, and they said, "You have twins. Two babies, two sacks." They come back the next visit, I think just a few days later, they said, "Well, you're pregnant, two sacks, three babies. One of them split." So it turns out now they have a girl and then identical boys. And they were born last Monday. But I'll tell you this. When they found out they were having triplets, Derek's first response is, "We can't do this." I mean, just the thought of just, I mean, as practical as we got to buy three of everything. And then there's the hard part. But you know what? The deal is, they actually can do it. But sometimes we feel like it's impossible. We can't do it. But the truth is, and you can totally see this as they're there and we're looking and they're, you know, less than 4 pounds each and they're in incubators and they probably won't come home till mid-March. They can have all the feelings they want about, oh, I can't, I'm not up for this, I can't do it. But the deal is, when you're looking at little Lucy and Oliver and Shepherd, the truth is, they can do anything. They will do anything. Because their longings have changed. And they are just going to do it. Not many of us have triplets. But all of us, in one way or another, have felt this. My stuff just multiplied. And I don't think I can do it. But when your longings change, it changes everything. It opens up possibilities that you may not thought were possible. When I think about us expanding our physical family, we had Alex and Austin, and then we thought, you know, we have more to give, and God had put adoption on our hearts years before Alex and Austin were even born, and we decided, and we went through this 2-year process of adopting Julia, and it's quite a journey, and there are many families here that have adopted. And there's lots of papers to fill out. There's lots to do. It's expensive. You know, it's not convenient. But there's no such thing as an unwanted adoption. But when you're longing for something, it changes everything. And those barriers, those roadblocks, those hurdles, the things, then they were nothing. Then later in 2003, when we moved here, now this family of 3 kids, and we moved in next door to Jordan Jones. And through just life happening turns of events, we ended up with a 4th child in our household. We didn't even know to ask and pray for that one. It just happened. We were there, he was there, the need was there. Sure. Is it challenging at times? Sure it is. But when your longings change, everything changes. I think God's got more surprises up that godly sleeve than we realize sometimes. In one case, God literally took us to the other side of the world. In the other case, God literally took us next door. And it grew our family, and it grew our hearts. And don't think for a minute, and those of you, you know this is true. Those of you who have experienced things like this through adoption, through fostering, whatever, those things are not good deeds that earn you credit with God so that God will be impressed with you and then give you blessings. The act itself is the blessing. When we open our hearts and we want to shepherd other people, when we want to gather people under our wings, it's not something to get you brownie points with God so that he'll give you good things. It's gathering people under your wings like a hen gathers her chicks. That is the blessing. Because it's the life we were created to live. It calls out the very best in us. Jesus' church is a gathering. That's what church, the word church means. Ecclesia, it is a gathering. We are part of the gathering. We're to be devoted to gathering. You can't be a gathering without gathering any more than you can be a follower without following. But also, as we are God's gathering, that we are to be gatherers, not scatterers. We're gatherers when we gather other people. We share good news. We follow Jesus and we share good news. But also, in this last sense of gathering, we're people who take others under our wings. We rely on the Holy Spirit to change us, to transform us, to make us into the kind of people who long to gather others under our wings, like a hen gathers her chicks. And it begins with gazing on the glory of God in Jesus. Spend some time doing that. Gaze on the glory of God in Jesus as you look at Jesus resolutely setting out for Jerusalem, for you and for me. Can you imagine a better hero, a better role model? A better person that says, that right there is who I want to be. And I know, being honest, I don't long for that right now, but I long for that. So what I'm going to do is gaze on that. I'm going to park right there for a bit. I'm going to open up my heart. I'm going to open up my mind. I'm going to gaze on the glory of God in Jesus. And I'm relying on the Holy Spirit to work in me, to transform me, to change me from just little by little, one step at a time, one degree of glory to the next, into the kind of person that longs to gather other people under their wings. It's a huge need at Cornerstone. We've talked about our vision for the next 4 years. 330-20. That's 300 people in 30 life groups by the year 2020. 330-20. Right now, I think we have 16 life groups. And so in the next 4 years, we want to grow to 30 life groups. Right now, we have about 160-ish people in life groups. We want to almost double that to 300. But what that's going to take is not double the people having their arms twisted. It's twice as many people gazing on the glory of Jesus, the man, the Son of God, the Messiah, the King, the one who longs to gather other people together like a hen gathers her chicks. Some people are not going to be willing to do it, and there's nothing we can do about that. But we can gather those who want to. When we expand our physical families, it brings new demands, new challenges. But when your longings change, everything changes, and you find a way to do it. When our church family expands, it brings new challenges. But when our longings change, everything changes. We need more life group leaders. We've really, over the last 2 or 3 years, we've been talking about having elders in our church. My prayer is that this is the year we appoint elders. And it will happen. Anything can happen when people's longings change. My prayer is that we have a group of shepherds that long to gather people under their wings like a hen gathers her chicks. This is God work. It's Spirit work.
We just have to take the veils away that are between us and God and live in prayerful communion with God so that God can change us and give us new longings, the longings of Jesus that can take the place of ours, that we become a community that grows in our passion, in our ability, in our and in our longing to gather people under our wings like a hen gathers her chicks. Amen.